Motivation to Do God's Will by Robert C. Newman. A look at how Jesus was motivated in order that we, in following him, may follow with sufficient and proper motivation. Motivation. Do you sometimes feel discouraged? Want to give up as things aren't going right? Have a hard time getting motivated to do what you know you ought to do? The example of Jesus can be a real help to us in these situations. Let's see. Let's look first of all at John 4, verses 27 through 34, the incident in which Jesus has contact with the Samaritan woman, and here right at the end of that, 4:27. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked him, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So Jesus' motivation, Jesus tells his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." What did this mean in Jesus' life? How can it help us? That's what we want to think about here. We want to look at Jesus' example. We want to look at Jesus' example in the temple at age 12, as found in Luke 2, and as he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4, and rejected in Nazareth in Luke 4, and going up to Jerusalem in John 11, and cleansing the temple, and we'll make reference to both the first cleansing in John 2 and the other in Mark 11 and parallels, and then in going to the cross. So, let's have a look then. In the temple at age 12, here's the incident in Luke 2, 41 and following. Every year his parents went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Well, we don't know all the details of Jesus choosing to stay behind at the temple when his parents set off to return to Nazareth, but it clearly involved treating God as his father and wanting to be with him. It also showed Jesus' great interest in the things of God. We turn to the temptation in the wilderness. Here the Matthew account, chapter 4, verse 1 and following. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and ascended him. Well, here in the temptation of the wilderness, Jesus literally went without food for 40 days in order to do God's will, indicated by the Spirit driving him into the wilderness. Jesus was not grandstanding here, not thinking, can I set a world record for fasting? Since we see Jesus refuse Satan's temptation along the grandstanding lines, when Satan suggested, throw yourself down, probably thinking in terms of making a soft landing in the temple and wowing all the people. See also Jesus' teaching about fasting in his Sermon on the Mount, where he said that one should keep this private between oneself and God and not be advertising it around. Third example, Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. Here's the Luke account, Luke 4, 16 and following. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and he stood up to read. And I'm leaving out some sections here to make it fit on the page. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he began saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. They react favorably initially. Jesus said to them, surely you'll quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel's time, and Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And he gives another example of this sort. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Well, Jesus here says to his hometown people what he knew they would not like. Yet he did so because he knew that was what God had called him to do. Similarly, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 23 in parallels. Jesus puts doing God's will above his own popularity and even his own safety. Going up to Jerusalem, John 11, 7 and following. Then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus is falling asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Well, Jesus, forgetting his own safety, goes into danger to help Lazarus and his sisters. In other cases, we see Jesus ministering to sick and teaching the word to the point of his own physical exhaustion. He has given up a comfortable lifestyle to serve others, sharing with the poor in their homelessness and poverty. Cleansing the temple, Mark 11, 15 and following. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? Quoting Isaiah 56, 7. But you have made it a den of robbers. Quoting Jeremiah 7, 11. The chief priests and the teachers of law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Jesus cleanses the temple twice, both at the beginning and end of his ministry. Here we especially see his self-forgetting concern for God. He is angry that God's temple is being desecrated, especially by those who claim to be God's people. Again, he knows that his actions are dangerous, but he does them anyway. And finally, going to the cross. Luke 22, 39 and following, we see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his arrest, or the a few hours before his arrest. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, this is the ultimate example of Jesus' motivation to do God's will. Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane shows that he cared more about doing God's will than about doing his own will, or even about life itself. So, that's a tour of some representative examples of Jesus' motivation to do God's will. Some lessons for us. Well, we see, first of all, in Jesus, a servant attitude. A servant's full-time job is to watch out for the concerns of his master. Jesus came to earth to serve God and to serve fallen humans by bringing us back to God. Now Jesus has called us to be his servants with the same commission, to serve God and to serve fallen humans by helping Jesus bring them back to God. Our motivation. We are to get our satisfaction from doing God's will, not from acclaim, success, reward. You remember what Jesus said at the temptation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. Matthew 4:4. So, we need to realize that God is worth it. What else could we do with our lives that is even in the same league with us? This is really just part of what it means to love God with all our hearts, to be motivated to do his will, not our will. Only in this do we find real accomplishment and real success. Remember that passage in 2 Chronicles 16:9 shows up in the film Chariots of Fire. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Well, that's the end of our brief talk here. And we think of Jesus' experience with the woman of Samaria at the well. And we pray that may we too find that our food is to do the will of him who sent us. May the Lord grant that in my life and in yours.